November 23, 1924, just as the Lord gave us the natural air for the body, He gave the air of His will to the soul. I continue in my state of privation of Jesus and of intense bitternesses for my poor soul. And if He makes Himself seen in passing within my interior, He is all taciturn and pensive. However, in spite of His silence, I am content, thinking that He has not left me and that His dwelling in me still continues. And as my poor soul is about to wither, the sight of Him gives me a sip of life, and like beneficial dew, it makes me flourish again. But to do what? To return again to wither and to feel like dying. So, I am always between life and death. Then, while I was swimming in the immense sea of the pain of having lost Him, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior, making Himself seen in the act of praying. I united myself to Him in prayer, and then He said to me, "My daughter, in creating man, in order to preserve his life, I formed around him the air of the body and the air of the soul, the natural air for the body, the air of my will for the soul. Do you think that only the natural air, being air, has the virtue of giving man respiration, and strength, nourishment, freshness and vegetation to all nature? Even though it cannot be seen, the air has everything in its power, and becomes life of every created being. In fact, everyone feels the necessity of the air, and the air follows its course everywhere, at night and at daytime. It penetrates into the heartbeat of the heart, into the blood circulation, everywhere. But do you know why it contains so much virtue? Because God placed in the air all the substance of the goods it produces, that is, nourishing, respiratory, vegetative power, and the like. It contains as though many seeds of all the good it encloses. Now, if air was needed for the preservation of all nature, air was also needed for the preservation of the spiritual nature, that is, every soul. And my goodness did not want to entrust or form, indirectly, another air to the soul, but my will itself wanted to become air for the soul, so that, with all the substance of the goods it contains, it might penetrate into the depth of the soul, like invisible air that invades everything, and bring her the divine nourishment, the vegetation, the respiratory virtue of all that is from on high, the invincible strength, the fecundity of all virtues and of every good. There should be a contest, the body breathing the natural air, and the soul breathing the air of my will. Yet, there is enough to cry. If men feel the natural air lacking, they procure it with every effort, by going up to the high mountains. They express sorrow for the lack of air. They eagerly yearn for it. On the other hand, they have not one thought or sorrow for the air of my will, even though they are forced to be as though soaked in the air of my will. But this balsamic and sanctifying air, unloved and rejected by creatures, cannot place in the soul the goods it contains, and it is forced to stay there sacrificed, unable to carry out the life it contains. Therefore, my daughter, I recommend to you, if you want my will to fulfill its designs within you, always breathe the air of my will, so that, as you breathe it, the divine life may live in you and lead you to the true purpose for which you were created.